This is a verse. I want to start and look at a verse from Mark chapter 11. It's a couple of verses that are very familiar to us, but I want to use it as a basis to look at some other verses. So in Mark, we see Jesus talking about the power of faith, and he's speaking to the disciples. And starting in verse number 22, I'm going to read it first from the King James Bible. It says, "For verily I say unto you," well, let's go back to 22. "And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God." Peter had just asked questions and called to remembrance and said to Jesus, "Behold, the fig tree which thou cursest, look, it's withered." And Jesus answered, saying unto them, "Have faith in God." Pretty good statement right there. You know, we could probably spend all our time looking at that. Because there's a lot of times we know we're supposed to have faith in God. We read about faith in God. That makes sense to us. But just looking at the decisions we make throughout the day and listening to the words that we say basically indicates that that's a struggle for us to put our faith in God, to trust Him, and not trust in our own abilities, not trust in our own skills, not trust in our own advantages or our own just our own strength. Instead, trusting Him, looking to Him at all things. So Jesus says, have faith in God. Now, these are the words He says after that. "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he saith. Therefore, I say to you, what things soever that you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have any aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you for your trespasses." So let's go back and look at verses 23 and 24 specifically. "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain," so we have the word say there, all right, first time, say. "Whosoever shall say." There's an importance in the things that we say. "Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe." Okay, mark that. You see the word believe there. So we had say in verse 24, and now we have the word believe. "That those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he saith." So I want you to see that Jesus said it's important that we believe. He starts off this whole few verses by saying to Peter, have faith in God. You have to have faith. You have to trust in God. You have to put your faith in Him. So we know it's important to believe. Obviously, faith is that believing. It's putting our trust. It's looking to Him. It's saying it goes against the nature of man. It goes against the flesh. But I'm going to believe you. I'm going to trust you. So we have to have faith in God. But then, if you listen to what He says as He explains, what He is saying to them is, you have to say, it's not only what you believe, it's also in what you say. If you say, saith to this mountain, believe what you saith. Three times He's focusing on what you say and how you say what you say. There's power in the words that we speak, but there's also that reality that we have to believe. You have to have faith in God and you have to believe. Now, it starts off with, you got to have faith, you got to believe, but it's also what you say. Those things you say do make a difference. You know, it's a lot of times we go through our life and we might say that we believe. Believing is important. It's the foundation of receiving those things that Jesus has for us. But it doesn't stop there. You have to, here's the real impetus, or here's the real evidence of what you believe. Because you can say that you believe, but the words that you're saying about your situation are going to reveal what's really in your heart. Do you really believe or not? Because there's a lot of times we'll get people to pray for us and we'll ask for prayer, but we're not really believing that we're going to see anything different. We really struggle with really what we say doesn't match up with what we're hoping for and what we're believing for. You got to start with believing. If you're looking for the promises of Jesus Christ to come to pass in your life, you got to start by believing that those promises are there. That's what Jesus said. But then, how do you know if you really are walking in faith? It's going to come from your words, because your words are either going to line up and be in line with those promises of God that the Word has, or they're going to be contrary. They're going to be filled with doubt. They're going to be filled with all kinds of questions. It gives you evidence as to what you really truly do believe. That's why Jesus said three times, saith what you say. The things that you say do matter, but it starts with believing. The things that you say are going to give evidence as to what it is that you really do believe. Now we see this as we look ahead. This is a great story that we find in the book of Acts. And this is as Peter and John are on the way to the temple, and they come across a lame man. This is Acts chapter 3, starting in verse number 1. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, in the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, when a certain man, crippled from his birth, was being carried along, who was laid each day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, so that he might beg for charitable gifts from those who entered the temple. So when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them to give him a gift. And Peter directed his gaze intently to him, and so did John, and said, "Look at me." And the man paid attention to them, expecting that he was going to get something from them. But Peter said, "Silver and gold, money, I do not have. But what I do have, that I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Then he took hold of the man's right hand with a firm grip. He raised him up, and at once his feet and ankle bones became strong and steady. And leaping forth, he stood and began to walk, and he went into the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And here we see, here's a man that is crippled. We learn later that he had been crippled. He was 40 years old. He'd been crippled his entire life. He'd been begging his entire life. Everybody knew and everybody saw him. Here's the thing. You know, even the religious leaders knew who it was. When they found out that this man had been healed, it kind of shocked them and stunned them, and they wanted to silence him and silence the whole story, because everybody knew who this man was. Even the religious leaders saw who was there. They had nothing they could give him. The religious leaders had done nothing in his life at all. But in the power of Jesus Christ, and here's the thing, Peter and James understood that power. So here's a man that is sitting by the gate. He's begging. This is where he's brought every day to beg money. How would you like to live your life that way? Having to beg money from people all the time. So here's this man begging money at the temple. He sees Peter and James, or Peter and John coming. Nope, I'm sorry, Peter and James. Nope, Peter and John. So he sees Peter and John coming, and he looks at them. Now, there's a couple of things I want you to see. First of all, Peter directed his gaze in verse number 4. In the King James, it says, "And Peter fastened his eyes upon him and said," and with John, "said, look at us." It's important to see where we're putting our eyes, because this is what belief is about. This is what faith is about. When Jesus said to the disciples back in Mark chapter 11, "Have faith in God," he's saying you got to be able to look not at your circumstances, but you got to be able to look at God the Father. You got to look beyond what your natural eyes can see, and you got to be able to look to see in faith what the Word says and believe what the Word says instead of believing what the circumstances are telling you. When Jesus was talking to the disciples and he said, "Have faith in God," and then he points to the mountain and he says, "Listen, if you believe and you speak the words that go along with it, but if you believe," and your words are going to be showing the evidence of whether you believe or not, "if you believe, you can say to this mountain, be cast into the sea, and it will be done." If you believe, it can be done. In other words, there is no limit to the things that God can do through your faith and my faith. Through us believing in Him, believing in His promises, believing in His Word, there is no limit to what He can do. There's no limit to what He can do in your life and for you and through you and with you in your life specifically. There's no limit as to what He can do. But it depends upon what we're, you know, for this man, This man had to make sure part of his faith was, where were his eyes? Because he had spent his 40-plus years looking and seeing his body broken, his body lame, and looking and seeing that he had depended upon others. I love the fact that Peter and John, first of all, Peter fixes his gaze on him. So in other words, he's commanding this man's attention. I'm guessing that probably most people that walk by this man every day, certainly the religious leaders who are going to the temple all the time, walk by him every day, probably looking right through him as if he didn't even exist. He was nothing to them. And probably for most people, he was nothing. He's just, you know, part of the scenery that's there. You're used to seeing it. You come by every day and you see certain trees, certain bushes at certain places. You see certain monuments. You see certain buildings. Well, you see this man, too. This is where he's at every day. It just becomes part of the scenery. He's not even real to him anymore. I bet it was strange for this man to all of a sudden have Peter come and fix his gaze. I'm sure most people looked right past him, right through him, as though he didn't even exist. If you've ever been in a big city, we go to Chicago a lot, and it's amazing. You can't go a block without finding someone that is asking for money. Someone that has, you know, some a cup out or a tray out or a box out or something out seeking money and telling you why they want your money. And it's interesting, as you watch, most people walk right past them and the people will be talking to them. And they just ignore. And I understand it. You know, when you're walking around Chicago enough, since you're going every block and somebody is accosting you for money, you don't even make eye contact. You just keep right on walking. It's as though they're not even there. And there's a part of you that wishes that they weren't there because you feel like you're being accosted all the time. And you look right through them. I remember somebody telling me once, they were talking about somebody who was asking for money. And after watching people walk by and he talks to them, the person who was just watching the scene unfold, you know, had enough. Enough people walked by, and this man finally said something and said, "You hear my voice? Do you see that I exist? You can't just ignore me. Do you see me?" And I'm sure for a lot of people, that's the way they feel. And I'm sure for a lot of us, that's the way that we feel in life. When we're going through our lives, and we're going through our suffering, we're going through our difficulties, there's trials that we face every single day of our lives. There's always different circumstances that we're having to go through. As we're going through those circumstances and as those trials, I'm sure that you felt this way at some point in your life, too, where you figured that, is anyone looking? Does anyone see? Does anyone care? At some points, you even feel like, God, do you see? Do you even care what's going on? Are you not sensitive to what's happening? Can't you see? When you look at me, do you look at me or do you see right through me? Now, God always has his eyes on us. We're his children. He always does. It doesn't always feel that way, though, because we go by the things that we feel as opposed to the things that are the reality in the spiritual realm. But this man, it had to really catch his attention when he's used to being ignored, I'm sure, all the time by passerbys who were tired of seeing him begging, probably have given money in the past, and they're just tired of giving him money. And so they just ignore him. It probably kind of shocked him to have Peter fix his eyes upon him. And then for Peter and John to both say these words, "Look at us." Because what they're about to do is instill into this man exactly what Jesus was saying back in Mark chapter 11 when he said, "Have faith in God." It's all about believing and in what you say. So this man, Peter fastens his eyes upon him. He and John both say, "Look at us." So we have two references in one verse that focus on the gaze, the look, the intensity of the look, the communication that takes place when eyes meet. Because John made a statement, Peter made a statement when he fixed his eyes upon this man. He engaged that man when there was no one else that was engaging that man. They were trying to avoid that man. He engaged him. He connected his life with this man's. I'm sure it picked up this man. So we have that first reference in this verse that says, you know, that talks about that gaze, that looking, that connection between the eyes. And in that same verse, then you see Peter and James both saying to him, look at us. In other words, they're now commanding his attention and saying, stop looking at the circumstances and stop looking at the things around, because we're gonna give you reason. We're going to give you something to believe in, something to put your faith in that will change your situation. Now, this man is just looking for some coinage and probably not expecting anything that's going to impact his day greatly, certainly not his life. This is the way most of us live our lives. You know, we just let life beat us up, and as it beats us down, we just sit and look and feel like God's not looking at us. Feel like his eye's not upon us. Feel like he can't see what's going on with us, and feel like there's nothing that's going to be dramatic that changes my life today. That's the way this man went into the day. That's the way we live most of our day. But the same thing that Peter said, that Peter did, and that Peter and James said, is true for us. When we're sitting there and we feel beat up by life, and we feel like we need something, we need that touch of Jesus Christ, we need those miracles in our lives. When we feel that and realize that, look up. Put our eyes, because God's eyes, just like Peter, Peter fixed his eyes on this man. You know what? God's eyes are always on you. He's waiting for us to make that connection. He's waiting for us to take our eyes off of the circumstances around us and to fix our eyes firmly on him. He's looking at us, and he wants us to be looking at him. Then he has our attention. Then that process of that exchange of faith and believing can take place. Peter and John both said to this man, look at us. Jesus is saying to you today, whatever you feel like is making you lame in life, is beating you down, taking away from, making you lame as you walk through life, whatever that is, Jesus is looking at you right now, because he's always looking at you. And he's saying, look at me. Look at me. Verse number 5 says, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Again, he was expecting very little. Most of us, we do eventually put our eyes on God, fleeting though it may be. We expect very little. We don't expect our life to be changed dramatically. We're just hoping for some little shred, some crumb of hope, some crumb of help. That's all we really expect. See, Peter and James knew that they had something greater to give to this man than he was even hoping for. But they couldn't impart it until he was looking at them and until he believed. Verse number 6, then Peter said, silver and gold have I not, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. There was a lot of exchange in eye contact, even going back to verse number 3. So when Peter and John, who's seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask him. So he sees them. You know what? We see God all the time. We see the Word. We see the Word of God and the truth of Jesus Christ all the time. It surrounds us when we go to church. You know, we see it as we watch TV, listen to the radio. We see it, but our eyes are not on it. And that's why sometimes you have to remember that God's eyes are on you. He's looking for you to make that fixed stare with your eyes locked in on him. And he's saying, look at me. Look at me. And sometimes when he says that, well, not sometimes. I would say most of the time when he says that, we're expecting very little. And yet what he has to give us is greater than what we expect. What this man was looking for was just some coinage to help him get through the day. But what God had for him was something far greater. What Peter and John imparted to him was something far more. That he would not have to beg anymore. That he would have his lameness healed. He would have deliverance, and he'd be whole for the first time in his life. We have such little expectations when we look at God. Whatever you're faced with today, God is looking at you. We need to look to him. We need to see that his gaze is fixed upon us. And we need to hear him saying, look at me. Don't look at your problem. Look at me. And then we need to raise the level of expectation that we have and expect that he's going to have good things poured out to us that we can receive.